I'd like to ask if you'd stand for the gospel reading this evening. We'll be reading John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And this is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light, but the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. When it comes to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John just sees things a little bit differently. Maybe you have somebody in your family like that. Maybe you've been spending time with them, or you're going to spend some time with them. They just have a different take on things. Well, that's kind of the way John's gospel is. There are things in John's gospel that aren't in any of the others, and there are things missing from John's gospel that are in the others. In a lot of places, John tells the story with unique information, with a different twist. For instance, the Christmas story, the story of the arrival of Jesus. See, when John tells the story, the Christmas story, there's no manger. There are no wise men, there's no shepherds, no Mary, no Joseph, there's not even a baby. And maybe for all the angst and concern about the secularization of our cultural celebration of this holiday, Christmas, all the concern about people saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas, and that all the religious or Christmas symbolism is being removed. Maybe it's good that we can remember John told the Christmas story without any of that. Maybe it's timely for us to hear this story told in a little different way, from a little different perspective. John tells the Christmas story by talking about the Word and life and light, by invoking images of the vast dichotomies of our existence, light and dark, beginning and end, finite and infinite, heaven and earth. And he says it's into these vast dichotomies of our world and our existence the Christ is born, the reconciler, the redeemer, the restorer, somehow bringing these vast dichotomies together. By calling Jesus the Word, John is reaching all the way back to creation, to the Genesis, to the beginning. One of the founders of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, said about this, that when Jesus is called the Word, that this is the first name that he ever had before any others. In the beginning was the Word. Wesley also points out that when the Word became flesh, it was more than just a visit. And when John calls Jesus in this Christmas story the Word, He's telling us that the word matters. Because words matter. Someone much older and wiser than me once told me that you can tell a lot about somebody by their words. That when somebody speaks, we can learn just as much about them as we do about what they are discussing. Or when somebody is talking about someone else, they're actually telling us more about themselves than they are about the person they're discussing. And see, John says, in the beginning, when God spoke, we learned something about God. That God is creative and compassionate. And at Christmas, John is telling us the creative, compassionate God did it again. He brought forth life. The Word is the revelation, the revealing, the unveiling of God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Life and living were being reborn. The Word of God for the people of God is more than the Bible. The Word of God for the people of God is Jesus. Thanks be to God. To know God, to know life, is to listen to the Word of God, Jesus. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke it into existence, created something out of nothing, where there was nothing. God created something. And on that first Christmas, John tells us that God did it again. Into the dark and empty places. Into the barren and void places. Into the ordinary places. Into the midst of the vast dichotomies of the world. God spoke again. Life. William Danaher said that Jesus is God's infinite reconciliation, entering into time and space. This is the Word, the life, the light of Christmas. Into the what good could possibly come of this? Places. Into the this doesn't have a snowball's chance in Atlanta's Christmas Eve weather. Kind of places. Into these places. Into these moments. God spoke life. God speaks life. Miraculous new life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Those places in our lives. The dark and empty places, the barren and void places, the seemingly ordinary places in our lives is exactly where God appears and speaks life and light into the world. That may feel like it's taken a while sometimes. Don't you know the people of Israel had waited and waited and waited and waited for their Messiah? Don't you know the season of Advent for us is a season of waiting and waiting and waiting? Christmas Eve is a day of waiting and waiting, especially the younger and younger you are. I was having a conversation with a couple of people today, and one of them said, "God, do you remember Christmas Eve as a child? It just felt like time slowed down to a crawl. No matter what you did to occupy your time or to take up time or to keep you busy, it just seemed like Christmas would never get here." And it's into those moments, into those seasons of waiting lo and behold, Christmas comes. Christ arrives. God speaks life and light. A baby is born in a manger. A life is born to us, within us. New life among us. And the Word brought life. Later in John, Jesus says, the thief came to steal, to kill, to destroy. The enemy, the deceiver, has come to take it away, to tear it down, to discourage, to disparage, to divide. But Jesus said, I have come that you would have what? Life. Full, real, rich, abundant life. This is why we're here, to live, to be fully alive, to be all that we were created to be. Jesus is the life. So let us live the life that God has given us according to His teachings, His example. Follow the life of Jesus. And the life, John said, is a light. The light for all people. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. I was talking with one of our church staff maybe a couple of weeks ago. And this particular person has been going through a really tough time this Christmas season. I don't know if that resonates with you even right now or at other times in your life, but so much so that they were saying, you know, I wish I hadn't even decorated for Christmas. Put the tree up and I can't even hardly look at it. And we talked some more about that and went on our ways. And then last week, the end of last week, we picked back up on this conversation and I asked about how's it going. And he shared where some things had changed in his life. And he'd been praying and been talking with people. And he'd seen a different perspective on some things. And he said, and so now I look at that Christmas tree with the lights shining on it. He said, in fact, I like to go and sit in the living room and just turn out the lights with nothing but the tree and the twinkling lights on the tree. And he said, those lights just pierce through the darkness for me. And they remind me of the light of life, the light that God shines into our lives. And he started to tear up. And he said, and that's what I needed to see this Christmas, was the light. It's exactly what the author of the Gospel of John is saying to us this Christmas. Is the light is shining into the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Maybe tonight or tomorrow or at some point, if you're like me and you're going to leave the Christmas tree up for a while, maybe the lights on your tree can be a reminder for you of the light of life that shines for us. And since we're still kind of in football season, even the season hasn't gone as well as I'd hoped for my Bulldogs, it's gone well. But I remember being at a game in the start of the fourth quarter, at a night game, and I don't know if you've seen this in the stadiums or been a part of this, but you know, everybody in the stadium, the lights are out, it's dark, and everybody in the stadium turns on their flashlight of their phone. Have you seen that? And so, I don't know, I was thinking about the lights and all those lights in the stadium and all those cell phones, and it made me think about my cell phone a little bit, because I don't know about you, but 2007 is when the iPhone came out, and I didn't get one that year, but I got one soon after it, and after I'd had mine about a month, I looked at somebody in the office, and I said, my life will never be the same. Now, I know for some of you, this has always been a thing, so you really can't relate to that. And For some of you, this will never be a thing, and so maybe you can't really relate to that, and that's fine. But you know what? I was thinking about this, and when I said my life will never be the same, I meant I live by this in a lot of ways. I bet several of us do, to some degree or another. So here's what I want to ask you to do. We're not going to do the light thing. We'll do this light thing in just a minute. But if you got your phone, will you get it out? And the reason I'm asking you to get it out is I want you to hold it in your hand as I talk about it for just a second. And as I talk about this, if that's not your thing, maybe think about your desk. If you got a desk at home or at the office or your computer, your laptop. Because here's the thing about my phone. I don't know about you, but this is where my calendar is. Right? I text people with it. I do most of my banking with it. Any social media that I do on this. I check my email on it. And occasionally, I even talk to people on it, right? Which I've learned my children don't do. They're like, oh, why would you do that? It's because all you used to be able to do with it. But like, if you're like me, so much of your life sort of filters through this thing. You're calendaring, like what you do with your time, with your days. Texting and your phone calls, communicating with people, and if you're doing your banking, you know, where you put your treasure, where you invest your money, how you spend it, your social media, how you communicate with the world, what you read on the news, probably here. And so I was just thinking about it as everybody was holding their phones up in that stadium and shining the light, and we're going to shine the light here in a minute. And I said, even if that doesn't land for you with the phone, maybe your desk or your computer or wherever it is, it's sort of the central hub for you for your life. I just wonder, what would it look like for us, for you, as you're holding your phone in your hand, what would it look like for you for the light of Christ to shine into your phone or onto your desk or into your computer so that the light of Christ is shining into how you spend your time? How you spend your money, how you talk to people, what you read, what you take in, what you share. What would it look like for the light of Christ to shine into your life in that way? What would it look like for the light of hope and peace and joy and love for the light of Christ to shine in you, into your life, even into those dark, maybe seemingly empty, painful, lonely places this Christmas? And to take it a step further, for even the light of Christ not only to shine in you, but to shine through you. And shine into the world. So in just a minute, we're going to sing Silent Night. The Salek family is going to lead us. And we'll all light a candle. Stacy and I will start, and we'll bring a light right out here to the center, to the front, and then we just ask you to pass it. And they're electric candles, so it's a little bit of a symbolic passing of the light. But all the same, we just ask you if you would pass the light to each other. And as you receive the light, I'm inviting you to consider what it would look like for the light of Christ to be shining into your life this Christmas. And then as you pass it, what it looks like for the light of Christ to shine through you into the life of somebody else. Now keep your light out there, please. Yeah. It was a blessing to hear the first verse saying in the original language. Thank you to the Salix. I was worried there for a second we were all going to have to do that, but we made it. Here we all hold with us the light of Christ to take with us, for it to shine into our lives in a new way this Christmas, and to shine through us into the lives of everyone around us. So may you take the light of Christ with you tonight, wherever you go, whoever you'll be with. Now this one that you're holding, you can only take as far as the door, because we need you to return it. But the light that is shining into your life and into your heart goes with you always. So as you go tonight, shine His light. And if you've got a poinsettia up here, would you please take it home with you tonight as another reminder of the light and love of Christ in your home? And I hope that you'll be back here with us to worship again. Come back for the new year as we kick off a new series of sermons about wellness and health and the significance of that in our faith, because we are going to live well next year together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.